Good morning to all of you today. Glad you're here. However you're watching this, Facebook, YouTube, MyTube, WhoseTube, we're glad you're here today to study the Word of God. We are here because we love to study God's Word. We believe it is the infallible, inerrant Word of God that He has given to us to show us how to live in this world. Even so, as we get closer to the climactic end of this age, He's told us how we're to respond to these things that are happening in our world today. So we don't run around biting our nails, all concerned and worried. We have faith knowing what our God will do. He's in charge and He's in control. We're in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 11 through 14. The new you. Now, we've been talking about the old you in Adam, dead, died at the cross. And when you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, your old man died. Positionally, experientially, we're living out in the sanctification process, being conformed to the likeness of Christ, changing, living a changed life. So experientially, we're living out our changed us. And this week, new you, sin is your enemy. And what are we to do with sin? Resist, resist, resist. So please stand as we read the Word of God together. We honor God by standing when we read His Word. Romans 6, starting in verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. This is the Word of God. Our Father, we give you thanks for your Word. Thank you that you have given us your Word to teach us. You've given us your Spirit to help us to understand what you are teaching us. Now may we implement what you are teaching us and put it into effect in our lives. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Now, as you know, the theme of Romans is really clear. We've said it every week for the last several months. The just shall live by faith. And you know that it's divided into six sections. So every Sunday, we say this over and over. Sin, salvation, sanctification, sovereignty, service, so long or farewell. Now, also, we've learned some theological words along the way. Not words that are for seminary students only, not words that are for Bible students only. These are words for the common Christian that I believe we should all know. So we've gone through this. When I say justification, you say credited. Good job. Good job. I'm going to get such a good response with the next one, but okay. When I say sanctification, you say set apart unto God. When I say reconciliation, you say brought back together. Now remember the picture here. We are initially, humanity and God were linked together. Sin came into humanity with the temptation in the garden, separated humanity and God. Jesus came to bridge the gap. Those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are now reconciled to Christ, brought back into right relationship with Christ. That's the picture. Now, last week we talked about something that I called hypergrace, or more commonly known as the free grace movement. And that's a belief that once you're saved, and I think that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. There are no works involved. There's nothing that you do except receive the gift of salvation. But free grace really emphasizes that a person really doesn't have to have a change in their lives. And my contention is that I believe that Scripture really does teach us that maybe I can't see the change in you. I'm not to be your judge. Okay, but there will be some sort of change. And I don't think anyone can really come in contact with Jesus Christ and not be affected, and not be changed to some extent. So we're in the sanctification process now in our teaching in Romans, and that's we're learning how to be set apart unto Christ. There's an expectation of every single believer to live different than this world, different than they were. We are to be changed. So, we saw a verse last time in Romans 5:20, and Paul made this statement, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Now, that caused him concern that people might be misunderstanding that verse. And so in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, he responds this way. And he's concerned that people are going to sin with impunity because grace is going to cover their sin, which it actually does. But there's this attitude of, I'm saved, I can sin, I'm safe, and I can do whatever I want. And that is the wrong attitude, man. If you're really saved, you're struggling to change your old life into your new life. At least that's what I think. So he makes this statement, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then he responds with an emphatic, the most emphatic way he could say this in the Greek, certainly not. Certainly not. Paul goes on to reveal a spiritual jewel. When we believed and received the gift of salvation, at that moment we were justified. At that moment our old man was dead. At that moment we were declared righteous. Christ's righteousness was credited to us. The moment that we believed, that happened to us. And our old man is considered dead. But again, experientially, we're living this thing out knowing that we're not perfect. We're still struggling. We're still dealing with the old man. We have to do something to the old man, and that's put him away. Put him to death. Get rid of him. So we frequently come across some questions when we become believers. How do you tell if somebody's saved? How do you know that you're really in the family of God? And I'm asked this question from time to time, and it's frequent, particularly since we're living in a culture that has had full-blown embracing of sin with like homosexuality, transgenderism, and a plethora of other things. And so the question is this, can someone be gay and Christian? Now, there's a gentleman named Beckett Cook who was a man that struggled with homosexuality, and he's a Christian, and he answered it this way, and I thought he answered it really well. He responded, can you be saved out of whatever sin you were involved in? See, it has to do with sin and the old man dying. See, Beckett Cook realized something. His old man was dead. He no longer identifies as a homosexual Christian. He identifies as a Christian who struggles with homosexuality. And I'm going, yes, all right. I'm a Christian, and I have my plethora of things. And by the way, he goes on to say, it's not just homosexuality. I have a bunch of other stuff that I'm struggling with. Have you just focused on one thing? But the reason that comes up is because the society has embraced this as the norm. It is not the norm as far as Christianity is concerned. It's considered a sin, just like the masses of other sins that we commit. So he answered, I thought, very well. He's a Christian that struggles with a particular sin. He no longer identifies that way. We are not to identify with our old man. Whatever your sin proclivity was, and you have it, you struggle with something. That's just the way it is. Satan knows the bait to put before you. You've been in this struggle probably for a long time. So we are not to identify with that old man. He's been put to death, and the word was katagero. Katagero. In God's eyes, that old man is dead. Cease completely. That's how God views us in the justification process. He sees us through the blood of his son being applied to ourselves. Paul said we are to do with our sin nature, we are to do something very specific with it, and he said that we are to put it off, kick it out. In Ephesians 4:22, he says this, and you as the justified believer, you as the one who has believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the responsibility through the Holy Spirit's power that now resides in you to put off your old man. So he says this, put off concerning your former conduct. Folks, we all have former conduct. That's our old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. And then he says this, put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness. And the question we asked last week, now this is all review. So the question we asked last week is, how do I overcome my old man strongholds? How do I overcome the idols that have taken over my life? How do I deal with that? And then we said this, John 15:5, you have to abide in Christ. You have to walk in the Spirit. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine. Remember, that was the power source. We are the branches tapped into his power source. If a man remains in me and I remain in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Look, you cannot grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior unless you are dwelling, making your home in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So we went over that and over that. So, abiding in Christ. And by the way, there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts. It will take time with Jesus. It will take prayer. It will take fellowship, being in community with other believers to help us all along the way. That's why we have a family of God. That's why it's not good to be isolated simply in your home and watching Charles Stanley or Chuck Swindoll or somebody. Those are great teachers, but that's not what the church is. The church is community where we're doing life together and encouraging one another. How much more as we see the day approaching, as we're living in this epoch of time that is coming to an end, folks. It's coming to an end. There's so many signs that are just amazing. So, we are Christians. We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say this twice in the message, at the beginning and towards the end. Know who you are in Christ. Be who you are in Christ. And by all means, act like who you are in Christ. You are different because Jesus Christ came into your life. Now, verse 11, we are to count ourselves dead to sin, alive to Christ. That's the new you. The new you in Christ, the changing you, is to count yourself dead to sin. Verse 11, he makes this statement, likewise, speaking of the new person, the new man, you also reckon or consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive, new man, alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now focus on the word likewise, because he's reflecting back to verse 10 where he said these words, for the death that he died, speaking of Jesus, he died to sin once for all. He paid our sin debt once for all. No other sacrifice is needed. But the life that he lives, this is what we're focusing on now, he lives to God. So that's our model. Jesus is our model. We are to live to God, no longer for ourselves. So, likewise, it's an important word, we are to likewise live out our new man in Christ. Now, people come up with all kinds of ways to be victorious over the old man. And not dwelling Christ. See, the victory comes in dwelling in Christ, walking in the Spirit, being Spirit-filled. That's where the victory comes. But there's all kinds of things that people do. I'll give you a couple of them. Some people say, deprive yourself. Live in a cave. Be a monk. Try to hide from all the evil. That's called asceticism, avoiding all forms of unrighteousness. Avoid the sin monster. Some say, deprive yourself. Some say avoidance at all costs. Don't come close to sinful people. And then they make a list of rules. Now, maybe you were in churches like this, because I was. I was in a church like this one time. I thought it was all great. It was the don'ts. Don't go to the Lions game. And I'm going, oh my goodness, how am I going to stand this one? I mean, don't go to the Lions. There's alcohol there and there's drunk people there. Don't go there, whatever. Or the Tigers. Don't go see the Tigers. So I had some trouble with this. I wasn't quite compliant with the whole thing. And then it was don't dance, don't play cards, don't. And there was this list of don'ts, thinking that's somehow going to make you righteous before God, have victorious over sin. No, it's dwelling in Christ. And then some people say, rigid law keeping. I'm going to make up my own rules and make sure you obey my rules because it's my kingdom. Don't break my kingdom rules, whatever you do, rules and regs. And then you get this group of people. I'm not admitting that anything that I do is sin. God's just going to accept me just like I am. And he does. He accepts a repentant sinner just the way they are. But not an attitude of, I'm going to do what I want, when I want. You just have to accept me, God. He does not accept that. Okay, just so you know that. Deny everything. Now, the truth is this. You can be a rabid dog legalist. You can hide in a cave. You can become a monk. You can avoid all forms, hide, withdraw. You can even get into thinking positively and still never have victory over sin. You know that victory over sin comes one way, and that is dwelling in Christ. Okay, let me just say this again. You say this with me. Dwelling in Christ. That's it. That's it. You don't do that, you're not going to have victory over your sin problem. You must dwell in Christ. There's no shortcut to this. Now, listen to this. When sin knocks on your door, now your old idol, who has died positionally, is going to knock on your door. And I consider my idols, my strongholds, my sin past regulars. They regularly come. Regulars. They're not infrequent. They're regulars trying to lure you back to the old life. So when our idol makes a full-on assault, screaming for our attention, that's what happens with every addiction. That's what happens with every sin stronghold. Your idol screams for attention, and it will. What am I to do? Now, you know that the battle starts where? The battle starts in the mind. The mind, that's where it starts. A thought comes in, wants to control your thinking. You start ruminating on it constantly, and that eventually affects your actions, how you play out your life. A thought always precedes an action. So this is what we are to do. Do, do. Reckon, consider yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I must reckon my old man is dead. So when my idol comes knocking on my door, as he does, okay, remember, he's a regular. What do I tell him? You are dead. You are dead. You were crucified with Christ. I am not listening to you. My old man dead. I don't have to listen to his screams for attention. So don't do that. Even if you have to do self-talk during this time of pressure, the pressure will come. Even if you have to do self-talk, you say, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God. You're dead. Demonic realm, away from me in the name of Jesus. I belong to a new king. I don't belong to you anymore. Get away. You are not in bondage to the old man. Kick him out. Now, has that been clear? Kick the dude out. You can, because the Spirit of God dwells in you. I have an illustration here. This guy is struggling with his old man. So this is the old Adam, old man thinking. A man consulted a doctor. I've been misbehaving, Doc, and my conscience is troubling me, as it should. He complained, and you want something that will strengthen your willpower, asked the doctor. Well, no, the man said, I was thinking of something that would weaken my conscience, so I wouldn't be so convicted. Isn't that the way the flesh is? Just wants its way. The old man wants his idol. So the key points to success are this. These are not in the notes, so just hear this. Heed, reckon. Heed, reckon. Heed your conscience. Heed your, when the Spirit says, this is the way, walk in it, heed what the Spirit is telling you, and reckon your old man dead, dead, dead. So, the old man is dead. What's next? Well, he says this. Remember, reckon yourself dead indeed to sin, but alive in God to Christ. So, that's the key. Alive in Christ. Look, if I am alive in Christ, God has given me the power to live this new life out. I'm alive in Christ. I don't have to live the old way. Now, Philippians 4:13, I mean, you have it on your, and maybe you have it tagged on the front of your Bible. Maybe you have it on your refrigerator. Maybe you have it at your desk at the office. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Very famous verse. Very famous verse. In context, Paul was saying, I can do all things through Christ and when I have plenty and when I have little. I can do all things through Christ in any situation. So that's what he's saying here. Strengthened, to be strong, to withstand whatever comes. Folks, when you are a new man in Christ, when you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, when you're thinking that way as a victor instead of a victim, because you have to think that way, okay, you are putting on the new man functionally. That's what you're doing. You're putting on the new man, not acting in the old man. Folks, you're changing. You're changing. That's what Jesus does. He changes us. Now, God's strength is there for you, but you must tap into it. You must tap into it. Remember, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Did you hear that? Walk in the Spirit. That's a present tense imperative. I'll tell you what it means. Present tense. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking in the Spirit. It's not a one and done. It's not a one. You keep walking in the Spirit. Present tense. It's an imperative. It's a command. It's not a suggestion for the believer. It's a command for the believer. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that word lust, you know what it is. I've mentioned it before. Lust, epithumio, epi upon the mind. The lust control of the mind. You take control of your thoughts. Count yourself dead to sin, alive to Christ, and by all means live victoriously because you can. And I would say live free. Free from the old man, free from my flesh desires. I can have a new life. Is it going to be perfect? No way. Get in the struggle. So new you, verse 12, obey, don't cave. Not to go hide in a cave. Don't cave in to the old man. Don't cave in. Verse 12. Therefore, because of what he's just said, actually from chapter 6 on, 6:1 on to here, therefore, do not let sin reign. And now, is that just a suggestion? That's an imperative, again, a command in your mortal body. That's what you're living in, that you're carrying out your life in. That you should obey its lust. Its lust. Now, he's mentioned several things in chapter 6 up to this point. In verse 2, he was talking about continuing in sin so grace may abound. Certainly not. So therefore, because we've learned that, the believer is pictured as dying with Christ. Old man is positionally dead. Since we have died to sin, we are free from sin's dominance. Free from sin's dominance. It doesn't have to control us. And then there's a statement, this grace statement in verse 9. Death did not have dominion over Christ. Death does not have dominion over you, the believer, because you will never die. And you know that death is separation. And I've mentioned this verse umpteen times. John 11:25, Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Look, a physical death is going to happen. But we are never, ever, ever separated from God for a nanosecond. Remember what Paul said, absent from the body, what? Present with the Lord. You got good job. Yes, yes, yes. Now, because of what Christ has done for us, we are to obey and resist sin. Do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. You can through the Spirit's power. If you're caving, that's on you. That's on you. Spend more time. Menno, dwell in Christ. Make your home in Christ. Live with power. Is God commanding us to do something we cannot do? And the answer is no, he is not. Our old man is considered dead. You have the Holy Spirit. I've said this multiple times, that you can live above the fray of the past. So the Holy Spirit is in you, has given your dead spirit life. You can now resist. We can actually live out this command. We can. He's given us the power to do this. So the Holy Spirit is in you. Is this living this out command automatic? No, it is not. You must tap into God's power. You must yield to the Spirit's control. Again, it's not me saying, okay, I'm going to try really, really hard. I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm not doing this. I really mean it. I really mean it. I'm not going to do it. How many times have you done that one? How many times have you done that one? Incalculable. You're not going to get there that way. It's only through believing in Christ, dwelling in Christ, that you have a chance at this thing. A chance at this thing. It's not our power, but it's God's power in us. Please hear that. Now, at salvation, I'm going to give you a couple slides here. You're going to see three slides. And this is from Chuck Missler's Kingdom Power and Glory book. And he talks about his salvation. He has a slide that does this. He has the spirit in darkened here, dead. When you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that instant the Holy Spirit came in and gave your spirit life. He gave you eternal life, folks. He gave you God's love, wisdom, and power. This happens at salvation. The Spirit of God comes in and dwells within you. He's also the Holy Spirit. You know what he is. If he comes alongside of you, what do we call him? He's the Paracleto. He's our comforter in this mess called life. Man, you need the comforter here. I'm telling you. I don't care if you're 3 years old, if you're in that nursery, you know you need a comforter. Now, maybe that might be your mom at that point, or your dad. Maybe your dad, I don't know about your dad, but it might be your mom at that point. Your comforter. Well, when you become born again, your comforter will never leave you. He will lead you where to go. He will help you through this morass of problems that we live in. Now, the next slide talks about living the Spirit-filled life. I'm going to make faith choices. It's a sanctification process, which will affect my life. My life. I'm born again. I can make a faith choice instead of a flesh choice, and I can be partakers of God's life. It changes my thoughts, my emotions, my desires as I walk in the Spirit. Now, on the next slide, we see what happens when the believer makes an emotional choice, chooses not to engage in sanctification, and lives out the self life. Our emotions, our thoughts, our desires are counterproductive to God and generally cause chaos in our lives. So you can be born again of the Spirit and choose to not walk in the Spirit and experience crud mess in your life. That's what he's saying here. So the choice is yours, walk in the Spirit or not. So our command is to do this. Let me say it again. Do not let sin reign that you should obey its lust. Do not let sin reign that you obey its lust. Don't let it reign. Don't let sin reign. Again, that's the present tense. That's a continual, habitual way of life. Obey that you don't obey its lust. That's, again, a present tense. I'm not going to obey the lust of the flesh. Now, Dr. Constable, I think, helps us with this situation where we frequently fail. Watch what he says. People sometimes see an individual who is under the power of addiction and say he or she absolutely can't be a Christian if he or she is in bondage to this. Then he makes this statement, which I think is very, very good. Where do you find that support in Scripture? Paul suggests otherwise. A believer may become enslaved to greed, anger, sloth, envy, lust, blah, 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 whatever it is, okay? But we're commanded not to be. We are promised that God's power is there to help us to find freedom. We don't have to live trapped in the past. We can be free. I'm going to make a statement to you, and you fill in the blank. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. Oh, good job, Bible students. Yes, free indeed. It's really that simple. Obey God. Don't cave. You can, because the Spirit of God is alive in you. You can live victoriously. Now, verse 13. The new you in Christ is to guard your life. Set up some boundaries. Okay, this is called boundaries. We've heard this word before. Verse 13, and do not present your members, as you know, that's an imperative, a command, as instrument. Now, what are your members? Parts of your body, as instruments or weapons of unrighteousness to sin, but, there's a change here. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members, parts of your body, as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, next week, we're going to go through Do I teach next week? Next week, when I because we just changed the schedule. But anyway, righteousness to God. I'm going to be emphasizing that we are to live righteous unto God. And it's not going to sound, it sounds like a drag, but it's going to be interesting, okay? So just hang with me. So this is another imperative statement. Now, how do I play this out in my life? How does this play out in my life? Guard inputs into your life. Look, you have to set up boundaries. Now, it starts with your eyes. Guard your eyes. Guard your eyes. Guard what you're watching on TV. Men, guard your eyes when you see some pretty little girl walking down the street and you're going, wow, look at that. Guard your eyes. I mean, you have a glance. I mean, you can't help that. But man, when you're just riveted on it, then that's a different situation. So turn your eyes. Guard your eyes. The eye gate is a conduit to your soul, your thoughts, feelings, and emotions. How about guard your ears? Now, this is important. Guard what you listen to. Guard the music that you're allowing to come into your brain that affects your brain. It affects you, folks. Now, look at it. I love the Eagles. And then I started listening to their song, Raven Hair, Ruby Lips. I'm going, what are they talking about here? And then Sparks Fry Flummer Fingertips. And I'm going, I don't think I have to throw the tape out. I had to throw the tape. I can't listen to this anymore. I'm thinking, this is wrong. This is actually demonic. Hotel California. I mean, I'm thinking, good grief, what am I doing here? But it was catchy. Didn't it catch you? Those songs catch you. Guard your ears, what you're allowing to come in, what you listen to. Folks, that includes podcasts. That includes newscasts. Don't fill your mind with this 24/7 election thing. You know who you're voting for. Just drop it. And how about this one? Set a boundary over your mouth. You do not have to say everything you're thinking. I mean, that's right. I mean, isn't that the truth? We do not have to say everything we're thinking. You know, just take a moment before you blurt. Look, if you're a type A, okay, now, you guys might think this is different, but I used to be an A++. And then as I had my life chiseled away with spine surgery and I couldn't lift heavy weights anymore and look at myself in the mirror and see how big I'm getting, Chris, think of my arms. You know, as that went away, I have to set a guard all over, how am I looking, how am I doing, all about me. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. I memorize some scripture for me that I will share with you. It's Psalm 141, 3 and 4. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. See, when you're A++, you blurt. You blurt and you hurt. Really, that's what happens. You blurt and you hurt. And then you try to take it back after the hurt, and it's so much harder to recover that hurt. Please know that. Please know that. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Watch over the door of my lips. Watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing. Watch over me, Lord. I don't have to say everything that I'm thinking. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And then guard your hands, what you do. Guard your feet, where you go. Guard your heart. Remember what we do with our heart? We are to guide it, guard it, do not listen to it. Why? Because we know that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Your heart can be deceiving. So guide it, guard it, don't listen to it unless it's walking in concert with God. Because it wants to usually take you away from God. And then guard your mind. What you allow into your mind eventually will control your life. All these things we are guarding, these are our members that he said, we are to present to God. You have a choice. Every moment you have a choice. Will I give in to that sin or will I obey God? What are you going to do? The unbeliever, listen to this. I like this statement. This is a quote from somebody that I don't remember who I copied it from, but it's this. The unbeliever can sometimes choose to do what is right, but he or she can never escape the dominating effect of sin in his or her life. They will always be dominated because they don't have the Spirit within them to change behavior for real. Your life, undominated by sin, living out a new you, can create a whole new future for you. A whole new future for you. So new you, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. How? Present all of your members, all of your being, heart, soul, mind, and spirit to God. Then you walk in victory. And remember, it's the present tense. It's not just, okay, I'm good. No, it's a continual thing. Over and over. That's a pattern of your life. Verse 14. Sin is not your master. Sin is not to rule over you, new you. For sin shall not have dominion or rule over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Sin is not your ruler. Jesus Christ is your ruler. Sin is not to rule over you, not to dominate you, and not to control you. Your old nature wants to control your life. You must tap into God's power to have victory over this old nature. Does this mean I can live sinless? Sinless perfection. No way, Pastor Rick. No way. That is correct. No way. No way. Remember, we're going in the right direction. Listen to this. 1 John chapter 1, 8 says this. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're lying. We're lying. We're lying. We'll never reach sinless perfection on this time, in this time frame. Remember, we reach sinless perfection when in the glorified state, when we are changed, when Christ takes us, either in a rapture or natural death, when we're changed into a new being, a new us. Now, remember, while it's here, it's direction, not perfection. And you have to ask yourself, are you moving in the right direction? You know, God is gentle with us. He helps us. He knows we're going to fall. He knows what we're simply flesh and blood, and we have these faulty parts of our being. But he doesn't want us to live in the chaos and the darkness of that life. He wants to bring us into the light, into a different life. And that is achievable if you walk with him, dwell with him. Now, God's original intent for mankind was that God would rule over them and that humanity would rule this planet under God. We are to be theocratic rulers, theogodcratic rule. We were to rule under Christ. That all changed. It was all very, very good when God finished the creation in Genesis 1. It was perfect. And man walked with God, communed with God, had fellowship with God, face to face with God, because man was perfect at that time. And then sin came in, and that perfect state separated. When sin comes in, it always separates. Look, when sin comes into your family, it separates. When sin comes into your life, it separates. When sin comes into your workplace, it separates. It always separates. Jesus brings things back together. Forgiveness brings things back together. The cross dealt with our sin debt and brought us back into right relationship with Christ. I mean, that's like hip, hip, hooray. If you ever said amen, this would be a time to say amen. Amen. That's a good, I'm prompting it, but it's amen. Amen. All change was, when sin wants to rule over us, it wants to have dominion over us. Christ came to break sin's dominion over us, break sin's rule in our lives. Jesus' death returned us positionally back to the original state. Functionally, we're not there. We're not there. We're in a process of sanctification, being set apart unto God, a process of change that will take our whole life. Our whole life. Old man is dead positionally. New man is alive in Christ. We have been saved by the grace of God Our focus is on the grace of God. Listen to this statement. The law which condemned all of us. Remember, the law is perfect. The law is perfect. Who's not perfect? Oh, that was pitiful. Okay, the answer to the question is us, okay? So the law is perfect. Who is not perfect? Us. Okay, thank you, thank you. That's contributing, yes. So the law that condemned every one of us, we can never live up to the expectation of the perfection of the law. Only Jesus did. We can never keep it. But the law has yielded to something. It's yielded to grace. Grace. Do you know grace is the unmerited favor of God? Most Christians know that. But you have common grace that God pours out on all of humanity. And then you have special grace, salvation grace, that he gives to those who place their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Special grace. Special grace. Special favor. Some closing thoughts. I want you to focus on the word resist. Resist. Oppose. Stand against. Look, it's time for Christians to stand up and resist. Resist what's going on in the world around us, folks. Resist. Now, I have several resists here that just came to me. Resist the devil and he will flee. Now, you know, in James chapter 4, 7, and 8, it says this. Submit yourself to God. That's number one. You want to have victory? The number one thing, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Watch this. Come near to God and his promise, he will come near to you. That's a promise. Resist. Resist the deceiver. Resist the liar. Resist the one that wants to take you away from God. Number two, resist sin in our lives. You can. We just went through the whole teaching on it. Number three, resist the world system controlled by Satan and his horde of demons. Now, people don't realize this. They don't realize that they're under the control of darkness. But every single human being born into this world is born into the kingdom of darkness, as you've heard umpteen different times, and has to be extracted from the kingdom of darkness forcefully at the time of salvation. Satan has no right to you. He can't keep you because God forcefully takes you out of his hands at the moment of salvation. Forcefully. Number four, resist a worldview that is contrary to God. Now, you're inundated with a worldview that tells you to live contrary to God. Don't. Don't fall for it. Don't listen to it. Don't marinate on the things that are coming into your brain. Don't do that. Don't do that. World's attempt to indoctrinate us to world think. Now, how do we have any type of hope and victory in this area? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Most of you have memorized this. In the NIV, it says this, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, what have we just talked about here, our members, parts of our body, offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world system, to world think, to the things that are coming at you at the universities, the things that are coming at you in your workplace. Now look, you're in a workplace, you have to work, okay? You go to the classes and you check out. You check out. You go to the indoctrination classes and you have to just check out or get out of it any way that you can. You don't have to listen to it. Just like half of you, right? Well, not half of you, but there's the occasional person that just takes a drift. They're checked out. Well, you do that in the indoctrination. When you go to the woke studies, I mean, you're compliant. You're going to the studies. They can't read your brain. At least now, they can't read your brain. And so you're just going to, you just kind of, and give them this one. You know, kind of get that. Let them know. Let them know how you think. I got to start the verse over again. transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. That transformation of the mind, you know the word metamorpho is the word. Change from the inside out. Jesus comes into me. He changes me from the inside out. I'm a different person. He made me positionally, absolutely pure in Christ. Now I'm to live out my new me in Christ, transformed by the renewing of my mind. Resist this one, folks. The comfort of caving to get along on the easy road, to get along, to go along. Resist it. It's easy to do to cave to the things that are coming at you so you don't have to feel the pressure. Don't cave. Resist the triunity of evil that we face every day. I call these regulars. Remember, these are regulars. They show up all the time. Resist the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I just had this little slide here to show you there's an overlap here. They're all working in concert against you. The flesh, the world, the devil. This whole system that you live in today, until you are extracted from it, you are immersed in this whole world of thinking contrary to God. We are to resist this enemy. Born again, you can do this. So, what is the flesh? Well, we know it's our fallen nature who desires to rule over you. Your flesh is not your friend. Remember, that's the thing that screams at you to go back to the old ways. Flesh. The world is the world system controlled by Satan. By all means, that's not your friend. This is what Jesus said about this world system in John 15:19, because you are not of the world, this world system. But I chose you out of the world, out of this system. Therefore, the world hates you. It hates the Christian. The world system hates Christian values. This is percolating more and more in our culture today, as our country runs from God. Runs from God. A vast, vast number of churches are running from God. They call themselves churches, but they're just meeting places to facilitate world think. And then finally, you have the devil. Satan. In the Hebrew, it's called the Satan. I like that emphasis, the Satan. The adversary. The one who masquerades as an angel of light. The one that looks good. The deceiver, he's the one. He wants to kill you. He is not your friend. When he throws the bait before you, that thing that you're really attracted to, he is not your friend. He wants to kill you. And by the way, sin is not isolated. If he tries to kill me and I cave, who does that affect? Ripple. Everyone around me. Everyone around me gets affected. Sin is painful. Sin has lots of consequences. Sin hurts. Satan is a liar. Listen to this. Jesus tells us exactly who it is. I quote this about every other week, so you're going to be very familiar with it. You know, it's John 8:44. He's talking to the Pharisees, and he says to the Pharisees, and by extension, all those in the kingdom of darkness, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's the deceiver. You, Christian, are living in a hostile world to believers. Hostile world. Notice I say true Christians, because the world system loves the phony, make-believer, cave-in Christians. Not really. I don't. Only God knows. So, the blenders, the chameleons, the go-along to get-along crowd, hey, the world has no problem with you. Just embrace the world thing. Allow it to come into your church and just cover it with love. It's just love. Listen to Titus 1:16. Talking about those who say they're true believers. They profess to know God, but by their works they deny him, being detestable, disobedient, disqualified, adokimos, not genuine for every good work. Phony Christians. How are we to deal with the threefold enemy? Well, I have flee, deny, and resist. Now, these three words can apply to all of these. I'm just going to take one for each. The world. Flee the world. Don't stop to smell the world roses. Oh, that smells good. That's attracting me. Don't stop. You know it's the world. Run for your life. How about the flesh? Deny the flesh cravings. Don't give in to the flesh cravings. Deny it. Guard your eyes. Guard your ears. Guard your members, your body. Don't put yourself in positions that precipitate a fall. Don't go there. If you have to cut off friends, you cut off friends. If you have to cut off whatever you have to cut off, you cut it off in order to change your life, change your direction. And then there's the devil. Resist. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let everything you do be done in love. Be strong. Resist. Resist. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He's not going to waste time on you. He's got other people he can easily get to. Look, Christ did not save you to remain the same. You were saved to be changed. Men and women of God, you were saved to be changed. Not the same. Not the same. New you. Know who you are in Christ. Overcomers of the world. Be who you are in Christ. A child of God, fully devoted to God. Act like who you are in Christ. My goodness. We're Christians. We should not be looking like the world. They should not be looking at us and going, man, that dude is nasty. That dude is dudess is nasty. Live out the faith rest life. Let everyone know, folks, that you belong to Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He's the one that I want to be like. Everybody wants to be like somebody. Be like Jesus. I mean, Mickey Mantle was great, and, you know, Al Kaline was great, and all those guys. I wanted to be like them. No, I want to be like Jesus. And I hope they want to be like, I hope they were trying to be like Jesus. They're dead now. The new you changed you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. You are on the winning team. New you, sin is your enemy, resist. Take a hard stop here. Now, you've been born again. You're a child of God. God has filled you with His Spirit. Is this the way that the world should see us? Looking down. It's so hard here. It's so hard. It's so tough. Put your chest out. I mean, just fake it. I mean, just act like you got muscles and walk around. I'm not talking about being prideful, but I am talking about have a demeanor that expresses who you really are in Christ. Have a little joy in your step. Then finally, sin is your enemy, and I love this last picture. I love this last picture. Resist it. Resist it. It looks so tempting. Resist this enemy. Sin is your enemy. God's power is in you to resist. You've been commanded by our God to resist. He's not given you something to do that you cannot do. Walk in who you are, not in who you were. That person is dead. Everybody understand? Gosh, you guys are all did a pretty good job. You're listening. Look at this. Yes, I applaud you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that you've given us to study your word, your love message to your people. Thank you that you've given us a unique ability that the world doesn't have to live above the chaos that we're living in here. May we walk by faith and not by sight. May we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, not our power, but His power. And may we live according to your precepts and way so that the world may know that we have been with Jesus, our Savior, our King, our Lord, our Master, our Ruler. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.